Hey, it's Sean.
Hey, it's Bree.
And this is I Can Explain,
the podcast where we answer the questions that you are too afraid to ask.
And this week's topic, now that we've got past catching up from Bree, is queerbaiting, an LGBTQIA plus topic from our queer podcast. Isn't that crazy?
Isn't it crazy that we have a queer podcast?
Yeah.
That we like to talk about queer topics, like, once every third episode.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Either that or a C-spiracy. It's really, you're getting one of the two.
Okay, I do need to say that the folks over on our Discord loved the catching up episode. I was chatting with them last night. For those of you that don't know, we have a Patreon. If you go to our Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast, at I Can Explain Podcast, click the link in the bio. And there's our information for merch and our Patreon. And if you become a patron, then you get access to bonus episodes, the Discord community, more fun stuff. And on the Discord community, I was chatting last night with some listeners, and they loved catching up. They loved... I feel like those are my people.
Right. The people that accept that you're a phony.
Yeah, a chaotic nightmare.
And a murderer.
Yes, yeah, exactly. The people that accept that I love a good scallop.
The people that are willing to excuse your heinous actions are your people. And that does make sense.
Okay, but more specifically, they just really liked the chaotic nature of the episode. So I do think that every once in a while, it's nice that we have like a episode that is just... nothing important really is being said.
Here's the thing, though. Even when we try to talk about things that are important, it still comes off chaotic.
You're like, we're already doing
that. We're already shit poor at our job.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
Well, today we do have, courtesy of Sean, an actual queer topic. Queer baiting, but before we get into it, I want to say a big thank you to all of our patrons for supporting us and this podcast. And a huge shout out to Aiden, Olivia, Emily, Liz, Kate, and Serena, thank you so much for your generous support of I Can Explain Podcast. And for those of you that want to be part of that Discord community, go to at I Can Explain Podcast on Instagram, follow us there, and click the link in the bio. Okay, Sean, queer baiting.
I think the first thing we need to do, because I think it would just be insincere for us to start this podcast any other way, is admit that this whole time we have been queer baiting, and we're not actually queer, we're two straights,
and we saw a gap in the market.
We saw a gap for low rent queer podcast.
Chaotic
and we
queer
took
podcast.
It. So we have been queer baiting the whole time. I'm so sorry. I hope you keep listening. But
can you imagine me too? Every video I post anywhere, I'm like, hi, I'm a lesbian.
Yeah.
It's just like all a sham.
It's like, that would be the most shocking YouTuber apology, though.
Oh my God.
Just to say that you've been lying this whole time.
It would be so weird, though, because there is that like weird thing, which I actually think has to do with queer baiting in the sense that like sexuality is fluid.
Yeah.
Right? So like, if all of a sudden I next week was like, hey guys, I did some soul searching, I'm actually not a lesbian.
Right.
Would that be queer baiting? Would that be queer baiting? Would I have like, to me, yeah, like I would have used this whole platform and like found this niche and like been giving advice and like all these other things about my sexuality. But then at the same time, there's this thing where it's like, you can't actually tell people there's one way to be a certain sexuality or not, or that they couldn't have learned that they are something other than what they originally suspected.
Yeah, hopefully it's not straight, but...
Hopefully it's not straight. But, like, for example, like, if I had had a channel when I identified as bi for, like, a year when I was first coming out, then I would have had to be like, oh, actually, I'm not bi, right? And I feel like we see that more often than the, like, oh, actually, I'm not a lesbian. Now I'm straight.
Yes.
Or now I'm bi.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
bi-baiting.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting with queer baiting because there is two sides to the argument. Like, there's the side that, like, if you're going to promote a certain, like, queer trope or storyline, then... like, give it to us.
Yeah.
But then there's the other side of it that is like, just because characters aren't, like, explicitly having, like, sex on screen or whatever, like, you're almost, like, forcing the characters to be more out than maybe they're ready for. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
It's a fine line with sexuality.
Totally.
Of, like, what you expect.
Yeah, so... I mean, just to get into it, like, yeah. Some people might have no idea what queerbaiting is.
Oh, right. Yeah, so, okay, sorry.
Before you just go off about how you are funny.
On a tangent. how I queerbait. Yeah.
Queerbaiting is basically the hinting at a character or a celebrity or someone's queer sexuality without actually further investigating that or...
Yeah.
Without ever, you know, releasing the fact that they're queer.
Yes.
So why I wanted to talk about it is because we've talked about it a few times in the podcast, but we've never specifically addressed it as a topic.
Right.
And for a while, I feel like I wasn't hearing a lot of queerbaiting, mostly because maybe it's harder to do in a global pandemic. I don't know.
Harder to bait the queers.
Yeah. In a I was like, we were going through shit. We didn't care if this character was gay. But I know that a huge story came out recently about Billie Eilish.
Yes.
So that kind of reinvigorated it for me. And I was like, I think it is a very interesting thing that we should talk about.
Yeah.
So I think first we should talk about the Billie Eilish situation.
Okay, let's
because that was the most recent.
And that's a tangible.
Yes. Yeah. And then we can travel backwards in time.
Okay, perfect. Love that.
So there was all this drama recently.
Yes.
Queer baiting drama about Billie Eilish and her new, non-new, there's one since her second to last music video. Which was called, what was it called? You're a Lost Cause or something. I think it's called Lost Cause.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And the video is her in a house with a bunch of women.
Okay.
Having basically, have you seen this video?
I've seen clips of it on Twitter.
Her basically having like a slumber party with a bunch of women in a house, twerking.
Right.
Like scantily clad.
Right.
And so that came out, and then she released a bunch of clips on Instagram of this as Instagram videos, and one of the captions in the third one that she posted was, I love girls, or I like girls.
Okay.
I forget which one.
Something like that, yeah.
So everybody was losing their mind on if this was queerbaiting or not.
And if this was, like, in some way her coming out.
Exactly.
Right.
And I probably have a different perspective on it. But I think my different perspective is also, like, part of the struggle of queerbaiting.
Yes.
In general. And my thought was that, like, there's this thing that we do as queer people that we look for any representation or any hint, because that's usually what we had to go off of to figure out other people's sexualities.
Totally.
Like, it was hints. It was, you know, it was subtle, things like that. So we look for representation even when it's not there. And to me... As a gay man, I watched that video and didn't get queer woman vibes from it.
Right.
Like, to me, I was like, this is, like, the stereotypical, like, early 2000s, like, girls slumber party.
Yes.
So I wasn't picking up, like, queer notes from it, but I could see how a queer woman might.
Right.
You know?
Well, and I think also, it's hard because, like, I almost think it's unfair in the sense that it goes back to what we've talked about before with style and your outward projection of gender and how stereotypically lesbians have a certain way of, like, looking or speaking or mannerisms, right?
Right.
And I feel that if Ariana Grande did that same music video, like, literally the exact same, every scene, the exact same take, but replace Billie with Ariana Grande.
And all the other dancers are just ponytails. Not humans, just ponytails.
Okay, no, the same music video, but Ariana Grande. I think that, no, I don't think anyone would say that. I think they'd be like, oh, this is a fun girl power cutesy, like, slumber party vibes. Oh, maybe you made out with your best friend. Hee hee. Whatever. Music video.
Right.
But because Billie Eilish has certain stereotypical, lesbian vibes.
Yes.
Like, when it comes to style and, you know, the way that she sits and speaks and all these other things.
What she wears on a red carpet.
Yeah. Like, all that. It's like, while I can see people being like, see, she's trying to queer bait that audience, it's like, maybe that's just her and we're putting that on her.
Yeah.
She's also, what, fucking 18 years old?
Yeah.
I'm like, did I know who I was at 18? Like, yeah. I had the beginnings of an idea, but I definitely wasn't out or comfortable to be out. And even when I did come out, I was like I said earlier, I first said I was bi, and then I was confused by that, and it was a whole thing. So, like, it's a very weird thing, in my opinion, to put on an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
That they're supposed to, if they in any way portray anything other than gender conformity, they are supposed to be, like, loud and proud, know exactly who they are, say it, say who they are. It makes no sense to me.
I also think that there is, no shock to me that there was a connection in the first music video that she showed herself less covered than ever before. My God, my voice right now, what is it? It's like very morning, like.
Yeah, it's probably that you went and drank beer for 6 hours yesterday.
Yeah.
Something to do with that.
I think I solved it. Yeah. yeah, maybe that's 6 hours of beer.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you. Anyways.
Maybe there's a slight connection there.
Yeah, sure. We'll see. We'll see. that's the thing, though, is that drinking beer for 6 hours, like, you don't even get, like, you're drunk, but it's one note.
It's one note.
You know?
There's no peace in valleys.
Yeah. I was just sustaining the one note the whole time. Anyways, I don't think there is any shock to me that the one time that she's released a video that it is less covered than usual, there are connections to her queer baiting. Because I think people are attributing to them seeing her maybe as, like, a sexual being for the first time, which I think is, like, more your issue than hers.
And she happens to be with other women.
Yeah, that people are saying that it's queer baiting, so.
And I also, here's the thing. On the flip side of the coin, I also am aware that Billie Eilish obviously is aware that this assumption, if you will, about her that she could potentially be queer is out there and part of her brand at this point, and she has a large LGBTQ+ following because of it. So the conscious choice to write a caption like, I like girls, it would be impossible in my mind for her to state that she had no idea how that would be interpreted.
I'm going to look it up. I think the wording is interesting. If it's I like girls.
Or is it I love girls?
Yeah. That might seem like semantics to some people, but.
No, I think it does make a difference to me.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see how you think it's different, because I love girls to me sounds like woman empowerment, but I like
it's girls. I love girls.
Okay, see, so that to me is more woman empowerment.
That's how I feel as well.
Right? Whereas if it was I like girls.
That's.
Like, you know, to me, that has been like an I like girls, or liking girls is like an ongoing, like, meme in the lesbian community. It's a thing that people caption on their posts, like, dating back to Tumblr, shirts that are like, girls can like girls, are very, like, queer.
Yeah.
But, like, love girls is, like, very, like, women empowerment, especially since she's 18. So she is hanging around with a bunch of girls.
Yeah.
Like, they're not, like, women, you know, like, it's not like, and I think if she had written, like, women are awesome, or I love women, then people would be like, oh, that's women empowerment. But the word girls, they're associating with it being, like, some sexuality thing.
Totally.
I think people are diving a little too deep on that one. But again, like I said, I do also think she knows.
Yeah.
And I think that's where certain people get frustrated. Like, if you have this major brand and you know the perception that people are having of you, and you know those stories are out there, like, you have huge PR teams and everything else.
Yeah.
At that point, like, everything that you post is so thought out.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they have teams that think of, like, okay, which order are you going to post these videos in? What are you going to caption them? Like, they're thinking ahead. They're stirring up for albums. All these things.
Yeah.
Right? So that, to me, I can see how people are like, that seemed purposeful.
Because
they knew
what
was going to come.
I also think that I, in situations like this, especially because she is fucking 18, mm-hmm. I always want to give her the benefit of the doubt, which is maybe the issue, because there is the dark side of the coin, which is, like, there are people exploiting this, you know?
Totally.
I can see, like, we're talking about how things can be misconstrued. I get that. But there are people that are using that to their advantage. Yeah. So, I don't know.
And also, she could be gay. She could be gay and be 18 and not want to say that she's gay or not be fully sure that she's gay. Like, so, like, this weird pressure that, like, if you're going to say a caption that says, I love girls, you better be out there with the fucking lesbian flag at your concert. Like, it's like, okay, well, she's fucking 18 years old, so.
She's, like, literally a child, so.
So, that's, like, to me, that's where it becomes a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
And I also think there's this, like, weird pressure these days on artists that are younger to know younger who they are and do everything right, which wasn't there even 10, 20 years ago. Like, perfect example of that is Pink. Okay. Pink has said many a times that she is not gay. And people will come for me because everyone assumes that she's bi and she's not.
Okay.
Like, I have fact checked this because I said something on TikTok.
You are
I was
very,
like,
passionate about it.
And people
were
like, she's bi, bi, erasure, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, she has said multiple times in interviews that she is straight, that she has hooked up with women, but she does not identify as bisexual. So that's a label that other people have put on her.
There you go.
And that she identifies as fully straight. I think she's literally used the words like, I'm straight as an arrow.
She didn't have to go in that hard.
And very recent interviews. But I mean, it was a thing like that came up for her for years, right?
Well, everybody's like, a woman with short hair must be gay.
Must be gay. And the gender thing, and like, you know, she was coming up in the same time as like Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera, where they were like hyper feminine.
Yeah.
And then you had Pink, who had short hair and dressed with like baggier, like ripped clothes, and had this whole like vibe that was stereotypically more queer in the public perception.
Yeah.
And she's not queer.
Yeah.
So I just think like that pressure wasn't there in the same way that, like, yes, people wanted to ask Pink about her sexuality, but there was never like a, oh, you're queer baiting, like, fuck you, in the same way that is done to artists these days.
Yeah.
And I also think, hear me out, I also think it's pretty fucked up that on both sides, that for people that are androgynous or more stereotypically gender nonconforming in the presentation of how they dress, that they are, like, inherently questioned about their sexuality.
Yeah.
And then you have people like Britney Spears making out with Madonna on stage, and they were like, oh, cute PR stunt.
Literally.
Because she's so
hyper-femme. They're like, that's cute, couldn't be gay, though.
Couldn't be gay. She's so hyper-femme.
Yeah.
So, like, on both sides, that's fucked up. It's fucked up that anyone who doesn't conform to, like, super feminine social construct and, like, the way that they dress as a woman is questioned about their sexuality, that there's no way they could be straight. And it's fucked up for femmes that they are just assumed
that they're not questioned enough. Ask a femme.
Yeah, ask a femme. But like, where are the interviews with all these other young artists that aren't,
I mean, I'm thankful that those don't exist.
I'm thankful they don't exist, but it goes to show how archaic it still is.
Totally.
That it is assumed that if a woman wears baggy pants or like doesn't wear as much makeup or has a lower voice in interviews, that they must be one thing. And then also that all these femmes that could potentially be queer get erased. So the other side of the coin is the Rita Ora example.
Right. We love this example.
And she had this one of our first examples. But she had that, what is it called? Girls.
Yeah.
Girls. Bing, bing, bong, whatever. That was the song.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no. That's
exactly how it sounded. Yeah.
They probably sampled that.
And there was that whole debate on it because they were like, oh, she's not queer enough. It was the opposite. It wasn't like, you're obviously queer, come out. It was like, you're not queer enough because she was so hyper femme.
You know what is so wild?
What?
I literally just connected this. How stupid am I? This was one of our first examples that we ever used. It was like Rita Ora, Cardi B, Bebe Rexha.
Yes.
And is that it?
Yeah, I think
and
so.
Maybe there was more. Yeah. I think there might have been a fourth.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways.
That was the vibe.
And the song was listened to this song or this fucking podcast, you know what it is. But it was, about girls and how when you've had a few drinks, she likes to kiss women and this whole thing. And people were like, that's queer baiting. Like, being mm-hmm. queer isn't getting drunk and kissing mm-hmm. women. It's, like, way more than that. And then she basically had to come out and say, like, I'm bi.
Yeah.
This is...
She was, like, pushed out of the closet. Yeah.
And the fucking wild part about it is
yeah.
that she is now currently...
Yes!
In...
Yes! Oh, my God! I forgot
about this! A relationship yes. with Tessa Thompson and Taika... Is it Taika?
Yeah.
Taika Waititi? No? Yes. Nor is it?
Yeah. It's the... They're in a throuple.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They're in a throuple.
Like a
yeah.
bisexual throuple. And that there's all these fucking images of her, like, just, like, on a patio just making out with Tessa Thompson.
There was one, actually, that now... It's so funny. I didn't even think of this. There's one, actually, where she's... Because there's so many different photos now.
Yeah.
There's one where she has, like, a glass of rosé in front of her on, like, a boat. Ah! And everyone's like, oh, it's true. Like, so funny. But it's, like, that's what I mean. It's fucked up that, like, the parallels of the two examples
yeah.
that both people assumed were queer baiting, but on the side of someone who is more femme presenting, the conversation was like, you're not gay.
Yeah.
Like, basically fuck off. Like, you can't use us. Like,
how could
sit
you?
Your femme ass down.
Yeah.
And then on the Billie Eilish side, it's like, if you're going to use us, you got to come out already. Like, yeah. they're so convinced that she's queer.
Yeah.
But, and like, neither at that point, I mean, Rita Ora now has come out, obviously, and we have also examples, which we don't need, but
could
you know
not
what I mean.
Be more obsessed with that throuple.
Oh, it's a hot fucking
love them.
Group.
I'm obsessed. I'm yeah. obsessed. Rita Ora is so problematic, with especially with COVID.
Yes.
She like spend like 10 grand to rent out a restaurant and black out the windows. But besides that, she is undeniably so hot.
Yes, yeah, yes.
Tessa Thompson is
so hot.
And Taika is also hot.
So hot. I'm just it's like, just so much hot. It's so much hot. Yeah, it's amazing.
Hey, Gabers. Today's episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert in language learning for 30 years for a reason. They are so good at helping you learn a language naturally in a way that allows for long-term retention. And it actually works. Trust me, this is coming from someone who attempted to learn a language in high school through the whole textbook old school method. Did not work. Rosetta Stone is different than that, okay? They really focus on allowing you to really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. I also love a feature that they have built in that's called True Accent. It's a speech recognition feature, and it's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's super convenient. You can do the lessons on your desktop or in-app, and it's an amazing value. The lifetime membership has all 25 languages, so you don't have to stop at one. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, I Can Explain podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Hey, Gabers. This episode is brought to you by Book of the Month. If you're a longtime Gaber, you know that I am far from a consistent reader, but Book of the Month just might change that. Book of the Month makes the process that I find daunting, finding a new book, fun and special, with new releases at the beginning of every month. I often find deciding on a title overwhelming, but Book of the Month's team curates a list full of exciting options, often from new and upcoming authors. This month, I chose The Return of Ellie Black by Amiko Jean, which I'm really excited to dig into. I love a mystery thriller, and I love a twist. I was debating between this title and Middle Tide by Sarah Crouch. And honestly, it was the first time in years that I was having a battle of the books. So this month, get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com. That's PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com.
But yeah, so it's like, it just shows like how, in my mind, archaic that thought process is still. It makes me sad for young people that feel like they are... Things are getting better.
Yeah.
And because of that, people are coming, a lot of people are coming out earlier.
Yeah.
Right. But I think in turn, it is creating this big pressure that you're supposed to know who you are when you're a fucking teenager and you're supposed to be willing to be out and proud about it or else you're like ashamed of who you are and that's fucked up.
That's the thing is like, I think about me when I was 18.
Yeah.
And to not only be out, which is like around where I, like 17, 18 was like around where I came out.
Yeah.
To not only be out.
Yeah.
But to be a like role model.
Yeah.
As a queer person at 18. Like to know who you are so young that you're now comfortable enough like being put on this fucking like pedestal.
Pedestal.
Like to be on that little stool. It's like actually insane to me. Like that's lot to ask of anybody.
Of anyone.
Yeah.
And also then there's that other dynamic that is, does anyone ever owe anybody an explanation of who they are? Whether they are a pop star, whether they're famous, whether they're not. Where do we draw the line between what is queer baiting and what is consumers pressuring people to put a label on themselves that maybe they don't want to ever have?
I also think like maybe this is a problematic stance, but I'm just going to say it anyways. Mm-hmm. I think that like there might be also some confusion with the Billie Eilish situation because a lot of her fans are young. Mm-hmm. And I think some young queer people might, this might sound like a read, but I honestly don't mean it to be. I think some young queer people might not understand the, like, difference between women empowerment or, like, the love of women as, like, a woman.
Yes.
And, like, queer women loving women.
100%.
You know? I think that's almost something that you understand more with age and time, like your appreciation of people. Mm-hmm. So I think that might be part of it. Mm-hmm. Was that an insult?
No, I completely agree with that. And I also think that it's also, like we've said, very plausible that Billie Eilish at 18 years old might not even know what the difference is.
Literally.
For her personally.
Totally, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, I think everyone's acting as if, like, she's holding in some answer that's going to, like, unlock the truth. But who's to assume whether she even has the answer for herself?
She did start liking comments shading all of her fans, which I thought was like,
really that's also a very 18-year-old move.
Really savage. And I was like, I'm trying to help you here, girl. Like, you need to help me help you.
Yeah.
And then she's also dating like some old, like, racist. Oh, yeah, she's
some old racist.
So I was trying to be on her side, but now those things, I'm like, bleh.
I mean, I'm not talking from a stance of liking her as an artist or how she treats her fan base. I'm just speaking from the queer baiting.
Right. Portion totally.
Okay, so. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
I was just going to say another, like, pop example is when fucking, like, you said this in the opposite form, but like Ariana Grande had the line, I like women and men in her song.
I don't remember this. I like women and men. We're really good at saying. Okay.
We are also pop stars.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why we feel so comfortable queer dating.
Okay. So I did a lot of people.
And people were also like, she's bi. She's bi. Confirmed bi. Bi. She's bi. Hi, bi.
I also think, like, okay. Maybe I'm wrong in this, but, like, both with these examples and, like, TV and stuff that we'll go into, I feel like queer baiting feels like a new thing only because we used to just take what we could get. And I feel like the consumer base of LGBTQ plus folks is rightfully so expecting so much more from storylines and characters and, you know, queer music and everything like that. Like, the fact that all of my, like, queer icons growing up were not actually queer.
Yeah,
and, like, the songs that were, like, the, you know, the going out, like, gay club songs featured no queer people.
Yeah.
And
like, I was like, who let the dogs out? That the dogs could be code word for gays. And out could be of the closet.
Oh, my God. This is a gay anthem. Yeah. So you tear up every time you hear that one. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so I just feel like back then it was like, it's almost like we were consistently making like some sort of fanfic about songs and artists and TV shows because we knew it wasn't there.
Yeah.
So we just had to take the small bits and we were happy to take them.
Yeah.
Like, I remember being younger and when things happened, like Britney Spears made out with Madonna or, you know, anyone like showed any sort of queerness on TV or in a song or like, you know, Katy Perry, I Kissed a Girl, any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I was here for it. Oh, there wasn't even a portion of me that was annoyed by it. 'Cause I just so badly wanted like any normalization of the way that I felt or my, in my own head, quote unquote behavior of yeah. like kissing other women or anything like that, that I was like, I'll fucking take it.
Yeah. Wow. Katy Perry was really on a streak with You're So Gay.
Oh, God. And then
I kissed a girl. She was really doing the damn thing.
And then remember,
thing.
Like, Taylor Swift. It's interesting to look back at things that now wouldn't fly. Taylor Swift in that song being like, I'll tell your friends you're gay.
Yeah.
And by the way, I hate that. You know that
Yeah,
one?
And then Better Than Revenge, the slut-shaming anthem.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. So it's like, there's so many things now that just wouldn't fly. Yeah. So it's interesting for me to see. And I think it's great because I think it's like, you know, it's changing the representation, which is something that we always have to push for to be better. But seeing young queer people now be the opposite of how I would have felt to see those characters portrayed, like young queer people now I'm seeing upset if, for example, two leads make out and then it's kind of dropped after that, like they right. make it out at a party or they made out, they're like what the fuck, why didn't you give us developed characters that are like queer, yes, or have this queer experience, but are also all these other things, and it's actually like a well thought out storyline. And I'm like, wow, what an interesting way to think, because when I was 14, I would have been like, oh my God, I just got to see two girls kiss.
Yeah, you're like, I would have finger blasted myself to this.
And now
and
they're like riding. They're
rewind
pissed.
The VCR yes. to do it again.
And now they're pissed. They're like, yeah. What the fuck? Like, they're like, either give us a 6-episode storyline yeah. or we don't want it.
Yeah. I do think it's really nice now that I can see like a queer woman in a show and not automatically assume that she'll be dead by next episode.
That is nice. Yeah. That is nice. Yeah. They really had to stop. The writers are like, okay, so until at least 2026, we can't kill any lesbians.
And no. And then every lesbian from 2026 onward, if they're in a show, kill them. Kill them off. Kill them. Immediately.
But yeah, I do obviously get where everyone's coming from. I just wanted to like do that little compare and contrast because it's showing that things are getting better.
Yeah.
Definitely. And we always have to reach for things to get better. I mean, even little things like, in the Discord, someone mentioned, what's his name? Darren Criss. Right?
Our queer baiting icon.
Yeah. And how, you know, that would have never been a conversation 10 years ago. It
totally.
Wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, like 10 years ago, and I think someone actually made this point, maybe on Twitter or something where I saw this conversation happening, that for a straight male actor to play a gay character was actually like something that was like, their agent would have told them not to.
Yeah.
So in a weird way, it was like, and I'm reaching here. Okay. I'm aware. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Like it was allyship in the sense that like for him to be like, oh yeah, I don't care about playing a gay character. Like
right. I'm woke.
I'll bring that to the screen.
Yeah.
Was a piece of that was allyship for the time. Should that character be played by a gay man? Yeah, I totally get that. And I get that the issue more was that he played it up.
Yeah.
External from the character itself. It's not like he was just playing a gay character and then he would, you know, he'd go to all the prides and he'd do all the,
yeah,
he'd pump it up, right?
Yeah, somebody on Twitter was like, I can't believe Darren Criss has had 10 years of a career pretending to be a gay man.
Yeah.
And I was like, oof.
Yeah.
Also, it would have been more realistic if they got Chris Colfer to play himself and his boyfriend. Like, if they, like, parent-trapped it. But they weren't related. But, like, how every gay just dates somebody who looks like himself.
It's just, like, him, but, like, a different part in
literally,
his hair.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Talk about realism.
So, yeah, that was one of the ones that was brought up on the Discord, and I found that interesting. The other one was the Riverdale example that I think we've spoken about briefly before, how in the trailer they had Betty and Veronica making out.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh my God, they're going to give us the... Because, like, I think we as queer people so badly want certain things to happen.
Yeah.
Because so many things for so much of our lives have been queer coded.
Yeah.
And in the sense that, like, I remember I used to love reading the actual, like, Archie comics.
Okay.
In the summertime, like, if I went on vacation with my family, when we went to the grocery store to get stuff for camping or whatever, I would buy, like, the Archie comics. I just loved it.
Right.
And the Betty and Veronica ones were my fave. And I always thought that there was, like, an energy between the way that they wrote them together. Like,
they
there
were two-dimensional, Brie.
Okay, people who read the comics know what I mean, okay? Like, they would have, there's plenty of examples of, like, in these comics of, like...
The one that, like, they finger.
Yeah, the one where they, like, eat each other out, yeah. No, where they're, like, you know, getting dressed together, and they're, like, undressing, and they're, like... There's all these queer-coded things in regards to it. Like, oh, well, if Archie doesn't pick one of us, then we'll just pick each other. And, like, all these little things that are, like, very queer-coded in nature. That doesn't surprise me that fans of that comic franchise, when the first trailer for Riverdale came out and Betty and Veronica were gonna kiss.
Wasn't it quite literally in the first trailer as well?
It was the first trailer.
Yeah.
So, like, it was very much like, here's a 30-second trailer. And
27 seconds of it are Betty and Veronica making out.
Like, that they're, and, like, selling the storyline that they're actually, like, gay together or whatever.
Yeah.
And then when the show aired, it was, like, nowhere to be found. Like, there was the one scene where they, like, almost kissed or something, but, like, that was it.
Yeah.
So.
Which that, I'm like, stuff like that, is like, queer that reading, is and fucked. I am not on their side.
Because obviously all these young people. And people that are not young, like myself, that read all the comic books, I was like, oh my god, that's sick. Like, they're going to put Betty and Veronica together? Like, amazing. Yeah. Get Cheryl Blossom up in there. It's going to be, like, the best time of my life.
Yeah.
So, things like that, I totally get. I think for me, the stretch is when it comes to, like, people that are real people, like Billie Eilish, or Rita Ora, or even Darren Criss, okay? Because... It's like, when we're talking about a person and who they are, I tend to lean to the side of the argument that they don't owe anyone an explanation of their sexuality. But when it comes to written characters where people use, like, one scene to promote an entire show that these characters might be together, that's wrong.
Oh, I think... like television and things like television. Oh my god, Jesus Christ! Oh my god, I'm like a boomer. like TV and film and things like that. I have in my mind, and this could be completely separate from people that are listening. I have less leniency for because that is a narrative that you are completely in control of. That is a story that you are writing
100%,
and you are fully controlling.
Yes.
The way that it is promoted in trailers, the way it is promoted in posters, like, you are controlling all of the media that comes from this. And if you're going to queer code it and then have no queer representation, you should go to hell and die.
And I could not
agree. Heard it here first.
It's like the Wendy Williams.
Literally. I'm sorry. That is the funniest clip I've ever seen in my entire life.
No.
Wendy Williams is a fucking garbage piece of shit, especially with this new, like, clip of the TikToker. I have been trying to get blocked by Wendy Williams on Twitter for so long. I literally have tweets from, like, so long ago of me just bullying Wendy Williams because I hate her. It mostly started when she was, like, insulting Lady Gaga like this whole, like, and, like, when she was on Dr. Luke's side originally with the whole Kesha lawsuit. Rough. Like, she's disgusting.
Yeah.
But I will say this clip is camp. This clip
is everything.
It is everything you could ever
There want. Needs to be, like, a university course on this clip alone.
The fact that, like, she fully says it and then, like, pretends to be shocked and then you can hear somebody in the background just go, Jesus.
It's literally the best clip ever. Death to all.
Death to them all.
It's literally the best.
And for once, I didn't disagree with her.
Okay, perfect. Well, now that we've wished death.
Back to TV. Television.
The television.
The films and the television.
Well, I even think back to, like, the original Gossip Girl, and there was, like, this very famous, it was when I was in high school, and there was this very talked about photo spread that came out in this magazine of the two main characters that in Gossip Girl that were, like, basically making out with, like, ice cream cones and stuff.
Oh, my God. It was used.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it was, like, huge, right? Yeah. Like, it went off because it was so queer-coded and, like, queer
there
baby.
There was no coding.
Yeah, there was, and it was like, them queer, literally licking each other's front. Faces yeah. and stuff like that. So it was, like, that's been going on for so long where they're like, hey, we have these two beautiful girls. We're not going to give them an actual storyline where they could actually be together. But we know that sells, so let's put out, like, some PR stunt
yeah.
where they're doing something that looks like they're, it's very queer. And I mean, honestly, that goes back to like the Britney Spears and Madonna PR stunt. Like people are willing to do it enough that it sells it, but yeah. they're not willing to do write characters where it actually like follows through on it.
I would be curious to go back and watch the OC.
Oh,
and
yeah.
how the Marissa and mm-hmm. Alex storyline mm-hmm. was handled. Because I genuinely don't remember how it was approached and if they did it yeah. well or if
we'd
it
probably
was...
be terrified if we went back and watched it.
Probably.
Yeah.
And I also find it this what a sentence I'm about to yeah. say. I was always annoyed that the like queer baiting was always just women.
Yes.
Because there's that gross thing that we always talk about. Totally. It's like the lesbian porn thing.
Yeah.
That you can queer bait with women, especially in like the early 2000s, uh-huh. and it's still super marketable.
Yeah, it doesn't like in their mind, it doesn't ruin the characters for conservative viewers.
Exactly.
Because they're like, oh, well, if we have two women like kiss in a scene, it's they're gonna be fine that the next day they're back dating their boyfriends. Like, it's not gonna ruin anyone's
perception.
No, but
nobody's gonna question it further. No. Like, if there's any male viewers watching, yeah. they're gonna be horny.
Yeah.
Any lesbians watching, they're gonna be horny. The straight women will forgive this because yeah. they've been asked if they experiment.
Yes.
Like, it's this, it was at least this weird thing.
Whereas if you had Archie and Reggie make out the first episode,
yeah.
then all the conservatives. Like, fucking, be like, what the fuck?
Archie and Reggie do like one round of anal and like no one will let it go. They yeah. use it in the trailer and nobody watches the show, you know?
It's so true. It's yeah. so true. And it goes back to this thing that's like women acting on non-heteronormative sexual experiences. It's like to people that doesn't prove their sexuality. In fact, like they have to do a lot more than that in order for anyone to even believe that they could be queer.
Yeah.
But guys could basically stand too close together in a fucking episode and people would be like, oh, they're gay.
Yeah.
Can't watch anymore. Like they're
that,
the gays.
It's like that gross thing that people always assume that women will always go back to men. Like
yeah,
that 100%. Their dial always just mm-hmm. goes right back to men.
Yeah.
But people could never look the other way if that was also happening to, like, a male character.
I know. It is so fucking wild.
Yeah.
Okay, we're out of time. But what we're going to do is we're going to make a little bonus episode because I have a couple of more examples I want to talk about.
Okay. Is it Klexicon?
It's, yeah. Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. I've got a lot to talk about. Okay. So, if you are enjoying this topic and you want a bonus episode and more bonus episodes that are already up on Patreon. If you become a patron, you unlock all that. You get access to our Discord. We get to chat with you, all this fun stuff. Go to our Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast and click the link in the bio. We really, really appreciate your support. You can also follow us personally at Sean.Lusk and at Brianne Williamson. And until next time,
we'll see you around the neighborhood.
Oh, I delayed that time.
I was literally looking at you and you were looking at me.
I was
and
just
I was like, what, bitch?
And until next time, death to all of them.
Death to all queer baiters.